First Fallujah in Anbar province, then Nineveh, where Iraq's second largest city, Mosul, is located. And based on some reports, a string of other towns, Iraq is facing ISIL's well-planned operations to seize the country's land. How has this come about? Alarm bells have been ringing for some time now, evident from the number of terrorist-related deaths occurring in record numbers almost on a daily basis. But why have towns and regions fallen? Furthermore, why has the Iraqi army not resisted them as they should have? What about the timing, somewhat coinciding after the elections in Syria, which saw as President Bashar al-Assad win another seven-year term? Well, in this edition of the debate, we'll discuss the aims of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant in Iraq after wreaking havoc in Syria. The militants are said to be backed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Are they trying to destabilize Iraq after what they did in Syria? We're also going to discuss the role of these regional countries in the unrest and the violence occurring in Iraq.
Serious battles rage on in parts of northern Iraq between government forces and insurgents from the militant group which calls itself the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or the ISIL. The militants zeroed in on Salahuddin province. They briefly captured the provincial capital Tikrit before being pushed out of the city by government forces. Meanwhile, reports say Iraqi forces have clashed with insurgents on the edge of the holy city of Samarra. On Tuesday, the militants captured the city of Mosul in Nineveh province. The ISIL has claimed on its Twitter account that it's in entire control of Nineveh. But Kurdish forces say they have pushed them out of an area in the province after crossing into Nineveh. There are reports of atrocities which are a hallmark of the Takfiri insurgents in both Iraq and Syria. The ISIL is said to have executed a number of soldiers in Kirkuk. In the meantime, bomb blasts continued in other parts of Iraq, including one which claimed a number of lives in Baghdad's Sadr city. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has once again spoken about the developments in his country. Maliki said he is determined to recapture Mosul.
Today we are dealing with tackling the situation. We are making preparations and regrouping armed forces concerned with mopping up Nineveh from those terrorists.
Maliki also said the ISIL managed to storm Nineveh as a result of what he called a conspiracy.
I could sincerely say what happened in Nineveh was a conspiracy, because the size of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant was not at the level of army and police there. But I wonder what happened and how it happened and how some units collapsed. I know the reasons, but today we are not here to blame those who took part or how the operation was carried out, from where they entered, who uttered the rumor, who ordered the soldiers.
Maliki and other Iraqi officials have repeatedly pointed the finger at Saudi Arabia and Qatar. They accuse the two Persian Gulf kingdoms of funding and arming the ISIL and other Al-Qaeda offshoots. They are said to have formed an alliance with the remnants of the former Ba'athist regime of Iraq with the aim of toppling the Iraqi government to tip the balance in the region in favor of Riyadh and its allies in the Middle East and beyond.
The great challenge is the challenge of unity in defending their neighboring states, particularly Syria. And this is a chess game again about weakening Iran's strategic allies in the region in order to soften up Iran.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. From the Answer Coalition, Brian Becker joins us from Washington. We have professor at the London Metropolitan University, Sami Ramadani, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Brian Becker, let's look at what has happened here. You have these militants or terrorists known as the ISIL moving from the northeastern part of Syria, descending into the northern Iraq, and then overtaking two towns and almost a third one where a major refinery was located, and that's an important one, Beji. Either they are that strong or large in numbers that the Iraqi army could not handle with their tanks, weapons, and firepower, or there was foul play on the part of some Iraqi politicians and the military.
You, for me?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, first of all, we have to put the struggle right now into a historic context. By the way, I'm echoing into my own ear, if somebody can help me on that. I'm hearing each voice, each word. The American government invaded in March 19, 2003. They destroyed the existing Iraqi government, and then they tore the country apart through sectarian strife. And it's been like that now since 2003. And so the Obama administration, under great pressure from the American people to leave Iraq, under pressure from the Iraqis who did not want to live any longer under occupation, they pulled out in 2011. At the same time, they fomented civil war in Syria, funding the same Islamic groups that are trying to topple the Assad government. And as they did that, they created a perfect storm so that those forces, those armed guerrilla groups and armed forces in Syria could bleed into and hook up with Sunni extremist forces inside of Iraq. Some of them have very legitimate grievances, some of the people at least, against the Maliki government. But underneath it all is the tearing apart, the shredding of the old Iraqi society. It was the U.S. government that disbanded the Ba'athist army, the Iraqi army, under Bremer. All of that that's happened since then is a consequence of the U.S. policy. Why this is happening in each city, I think the dynamic is we still have to investigate that. But I want to make the point that the U.S. government, in spite of the fact that it denounces the ISIL, they're the ones responsible for the creation of this monster.
And what's interesting, Brian Becker, is the fact that the U.S. come out and says, well, let's put out a warning because the ISIL is dangerous. They're actually fueling the unrest that's been spreading in the region. But they also said that this conflict is coming out of Syria, and then you have these terrorists coming from Syria into Iraq. So if they know that this is indeed from the terrorists coming out of Syria into Iraq, doing what they're doing in Iraq, why are they supporting some, as they call, the moderate opposition, knowing there's no guarantee, for example, for the arms not to fall in the wrong hands? Brian Becker, do you have me? Okay.
Yeah, you're asking me. I couldn't. Can you say it one more time, please?
Sure. The gamble that the U.S. has taken arming, and they continue saying that they're arming the moderate opposition, but yet they say that these militants are coming, ISIL specifically, from Syria into Iraq.
Yes, I mean, it's a complete contradiction, and an obvious contradiction, a contradiction on its face. The U.S. government is supporting the same forces. They say now, well, we want to make it the moderate forces. There are no moderate forces in Syria. The armed struggle that's being led in Syria, the one that's effective, the one that's grabbed territory, are the same political forces. Maybe there's different organizations, but they fall basically under the same political slash religious umbrella. They have those interests are not really global. It's not like the original Al Qaeda in terms of a war against the United States. They want to turn Iraq and Syria into Islamic states under their leadership, and so they have great momentum now because Turkey fed in arms, Saudi Arabia fed in arms, Qatar fed in arms, and behind it all was the CIA coordinating all the arms shipments through Jordan. The U.S. may not be sending directly heavy arms to the Syrian rebels. They may say that it's only for the moderate opposition. The fact of the matter is, none of this would really be happening in Syria and bleeding over into Iraq if it hadn't been for the American policy. First, the policy of invading Iraq and tearing it apart on sectarian basis, and then fomenting consciously, as a matter of policy, a civil war policy in Syria. And the United States government's position is, my enemy's enemy is my friend. And so in this case, the ISIL forces in Syria really have functioned as the friends of the United States and the friends of the CIA.
Okay, let's bring in Sami Ramadani into this. Sami Ramadani, what about the timing? I mean, this could have happened last week, 2 weeks ago. I mean, anything to do with, you think, the defeat of the insurgents and the gains of the Syrian army, especially that the plan by the West and its regional allies for removing Assad from power failed based on the elections that took place there?
Well, I think I agree with much of what your guest was saying, your guest from Washington. And I simply add that this ISIL force is really a continuation of the terror groups that spread in Iraq after the occupation. And these terror groups had close links with the occupation authorities. and they have used them in Syria, and arms came from Turkey and funds from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other states to destroy Syria. And now that they have largely failed in the last 6 months or so in Syria to make any progress, in fact, they were defeated in a number of places in Syria, they have turned their attention to Iraq. And one point I would like to also stress is that the Iraqi state that was set up by the occupation in 2003 is a very corrupt state today, unfortunately. It's driven by sectarian conflict, which is there isn't a true central effort.